If you turn on the TV or the radio or look on the internet, you'll find all kinds of somewhat bizarre answers to that question. Man has imagined and created all kinds of scenes and scenarios about what will happen when the Lord returns. But the Bible is very clear about what's going to happen when the Lord returns. In our Wednesday evening class, we've been studying the book of Acts, and we have looked at what happened when Jesus left this earth. In Acts chapter 1, where we'll begin our lesson, beginning in verse 9, Luke records this. Now when he had spoken these things, referring to Jesus, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. There the angels, the two men in white apparel, declared very plainly that this same Jesus is going to return. We often call it the second coming, when the Lord returns. But what will happen? The Bible says there's a number of things that's going to happen. We see in John chapter 5, Jesus himself said, one of the things that's going to happen is that the dead will be raised. In John chapter 5, Jesus says this in verses 28 and 29. John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. Jesus says, Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Several things to note there that are very important. Number one, Christ said there would be only one resurrection. And that resurrection would include both the good and the evil. Not two separate resurrections. He's very clear about that. Man has put that concept into these verses. Jesus did not teach that. He said there would be one resurrection of all those who are in the graves, good and evil. He said this would happen at the same time. There's no hint in those two verses of a vast period of time, whether it's 1,000 years or anything else. Between those verses teach clearly and declare plainly that there will be one resurrection. It will include every soul who has died. Every single one. And that will happen at the same time. Paul reinforces this same idea in Acts chapter 24 when he says almost the exact same words that Jesus used. In Acts 24, 15, Paul says this. This is his defense before Felix. He says in verse 15, I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. Paul uses the term just and the unjust. Jesus used the terms good and evil. One resurrection. There will be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. Again, no separation in time. It's all going to happen together. Now, what Paul later says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is that what about those people who are alive? He says that those people who are alive when Jesus comes will be changed, and they'll be changed instantaneously. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul made this declaration. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 50. This is the best chapter in the Bible on the resurrection. He says, beginning in verse 50, Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, or will not all be dead when Jesus returns. Some will be alive. But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we, meaning those who are still alive, shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. He says that's what's going to happen. Those who are in the grave, those who are dead, they will be resurrected, just like Jesus said back in John 5. All. Paul is specifically here talking about the good, the just, but he says they're going to be changed, those who are alive. Why? Because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Those who are alive when Jesus returns, their flesh and blood bodies cannot be in heaven. It has to be changed. And so God's going to change these bodies miraculously, instantaneously, from corruptible to incorruptible. Why? So they can live, they can inherit heaven. They can be in God's presence. They can't in flesh and blood. So that has to be changed. And then it says, Paul would later tell the Thessalonian Christians, that we'll be caught up in the air. No indication that Jesus is ever coming back to this earth. The Bible never, ever even hints that he's going to step foot on this earth. In 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul writes, beginning in verse 13, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep." Again, those who have passed away. "Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." Those who have died in the Lord. "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain," the same ones Paul's talking about in 1 Corinthians 15, "will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout," there's the shout that he talked about in 1 Corinthians 15, "and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord." In other words, those who are faithful, those who are dead in Christ, will be raised before we meet them in the air. This verse doesn't even talk about the unjust and the evil. We've already seen from the Bible where everybody who are in the grave will be raised at the same time. Of course, those who are evil, those who are unjust, those who are wicked, will be judged, as we'll see momentarily, and then sent to that devil's hell. So the dead will be raised. All the dead will be raised when Jesus returns. All of them, just and the unjust. Those who are alive when Jesus returns, their bodies will be changed. Because flesh and blood cannot go into the next realm. The next realm is a spiritual realm. Flesh and blood can't exist there. So their bodies must be changed. Something else that the Bible says will happen when the Lord returns, Christ's kingdom will be delivered to God. Again, in 1 Corinthians 15, by inspiration, Paul talks about what's going to happen to the kingdom of Christ. His church, the church of Christ here on earth, what's going to happen to that kingdom? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 22, Paul writes, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." Those in Christ shall be made alive. "But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death." So when Jesus returns, it will not be to set up his kingdom, but to deliver his kingdom, which is already in existence, to the Father. Makes that very clear. The Bible says there's only going to be one return. Jesus isn't going to come back several times. The Bible says he's coming back one time, never hints at another. That's man's ideas that they have put in the Bible. It's not there. He's coming back one more time. And when he returns, he's delivering the kingdom, which has been in existence since the first century, back to the Father. Jesus began to reign over his kingdom after his ascension. His kingdom began in the first century. It was even prophesied that that would happen. In Daniel chapter 7, when Daniel is interpreting those different dreams, in Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, Daniel says this. This is one of his visions. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. Kingdoms would come and go, but not Christ's kingdom. It would last forever. Now, on Pentecost, 10 days after Jesus rose into heaven, ascended into heaven, Peter proclaims this in Acts chapter 2. Peter says, beginning in verse 29, Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses, therefore being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. Peter says, Christ, which was prophesied that he would reign on David's throne, that happened when he was resurrected and ascended into heaven. Daniel, hundreds of years before that happened, saw the Son of Man, that was Jesus' description of himself, the Son of Man going to the Ancient of Days, God, and receiving the kingdom. So when Jesus ascended there in Acts chapter 1, he rose, he ascended into heaven where he received that kingdom. And he's been reigning over that kingdom since the first century. He's not coming back to this earth to set up another kingdom. He already has a kingdom and he's already reigning over it. The Bible says he's the King of Kings now. 1 Timothy 6, verse 15. He is now King of Kings. It's not he's going to be King of Kings. He's the King now. He's reigning now. He has all authority now. Remember in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus says, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. When? Right then, back in the first century. There's not the slightest indication that Jesus will ever come back to this earth. There's no indication in Scripture that he's ever going to set up any other kingdom. That is simply man's ideas that they have put into Scripture. They didn't draw it out of Scripture. Scripture says just the opposite. It also says that we read when Christ returns the kingdom, death will be destroyed. There will be no more death. When Jesus returns, death, physical death, is over. There will be no physical death. Since there's physical death now, we know that Jesus hasn't returned. Some people, of course, teach that he returned back in the first century. He did not. because we still have physical death. But when he returns, death will be destroyed. No more dying physically. The third thing the Bible says will happen when he returns is that the world will be judged. Jesus taught this repeatedly, as did many of the apostles and other writers. In Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 31, Jesus says this, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left." There's that great judgment scene when Jesus returns. He is going to separate everybody into two groups, sheep and goats. Sheep and goats. Those on His right hand, the sheep, those will go into everlasting happiness and peace and life. Those on the left, the goats, will go into everlasting destruction, condemnation, punishment. Jesus also taught that in the chapter on the parables of the kingdom, back in Matthew chapter 15, Matthew 13, He says this, beginning in verse 40. This is where He explains the parable of the tares. "Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out His angels, and they will gather out of His kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Unfortunately, many people today will not hear, since they don't like what the Bible teaches about Christ's second coming or about judgment. Then they put their own ideas into the Bible instead of letting the Bible tell what the Bible says. They put man's ideas into the Bible. But it says clearly when Jesus returns, He's going to separate the saved from the lost. There's not going to be any thousand-year time span in there or anything else. The Bible never teaches or even hints at that. And the people are going to be judged by their works. They're going to be judged by their works, not by what they planned on doing or thought about doing or wished they had done, but what they actually had done. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 27, the last verse in that chapter, Jesus says, "For the Son of Man will come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He will reward each according to his works." Again, the coming of the Son of Man. When Jesus comes with His angels, His holy ones, what's He going to do? He's going to reward each one according to his works. The idea in the original language is to pay back proportionately. To pay back proportionately. So they're going to be judged by their works. We also know this from Apostle Paul's account in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. Paul talks about the judgment seat of Christ. Paul says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he's done, whether good or bad." People will be judged by what they have done. Again, not what they intended to do or thought about doing or planned on doing, but what they actually did, judged by their works. And it's going to be a day of rewards and punishment. He says, good or bad. In Matthew chapter 25, going back to that chapter, Jesus teaches in verse 46 what the end is going to be like. Matthew 25, verse 46. He says, "And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." only two possible outcomes, either everlasting punishment or everlasting life. No third options, no fourth options, certainly no purgatory. When Jesus comes, it will be final. And those who have not obeyed the gospel will be punished with everlasting destruction. Paul, in writing 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, made this crystal clear. He says, beginning in verse 7 of 2 Thessalonians 1, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels." Notice how that recurs over and over and over again. When Jesus comes, He's going to come with His angels, with those holy ones. "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power when He comes in that day to be glorified in His saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed." When Jesus comes again, the world will be judged. No second chances, no time here on earth for people to make amends. When Jesus comes, it's done, it's final, it's over. The world will be judged. And the final thing it says is that the world will be destroyed. Or one of the things that will happen is that the world will be destroyed. In 2 Peter chapter 3, in another section that people try to put their own ideas into instead of just letting the Bible speak for the Bible. Beginning in verse 10 of 2 Peter 3, Peter says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. The elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." And of course, John in Revelation talks about the new heavens and the new earth and what it's going to be like. In Revelation 21, beginning in verse 1, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away." They're gone, destroyed, dissolved, melted, burned up. "Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." And notice verse 3, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God." We'll be in His presence forever. Forever. Those are some of the things, those are the main things the Bible says is going to happen. The dead will be raised, all the dead. Christ's kingdom will be delivered back to the Father. The world will be judged, and the world will be destroyed. And Jesus says, because I'm coming as a thief in the night, the Bible teaches that repeatedly, believers have to be ready at all times. In Matthew 24, Jesus Himself gave this warning about the need to be prepared. In Matthew 24, beginning in verse 42, Jesus says, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." No, there's going to be no signs. No one has any clue as to when He's coming back. Just like you never know when a thief is going to break into your house. There's no announcement. There's no signs. There's no warnings. Neither will there be when Jesus returns. He's coming in many ways when we least expect it. That's why he says, be ready at all times. That doesn't mean we sit back and do nothing. Just the opposite. The parable of the talents tells us that Jesus has given us our time on earth to use those talents. We don't sit idle. We don't sit passive. We use that time to use those talents, abilities, resources, opportunities, until he does come. He wants to find us busy. He wants to find us working. He wants to find us using our talents until he returns. Until we leave this world, until we pass away, or until he returns, he wants us to be busy doing the Lord's work. Working in the vineyard. Being in his kingdom. And of course that begins with the new birth. But then it's followed by continuing every day to grow in Christ, to be edified by his word, and to be busy doing the Lord's work. Jesus is coming back. He promised us he's coming back. But he's going to take the faithful with him back to be with God in his presence throughout eternity. This morning, if there is a need for you to respond to the great gospel invitation, if you're needing prayers this morning, whatever you might need, I encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.